Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. We are so glad to be with you this morning. Why don't we stand together as we sing this great song of praise, This is Amazing Grace. God's grace is sufficient for us, and He is in this place today. Church, who breaks the power of sin?
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder?
Oh,
pray with me. Father God, we do sing about all that you've done for us. We thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you that you have spared our lives, that you have not just spared us, you've made us new, you've transformed us, you've given us an opportunity to live for you. So thank you for that. Father, if there's anyone in this room that doesn't know you, my prayer is that right now your Holy Spirit would move in their life, that they would know that this is the day they can receive your amazing gift of salvation. For those of us that do know you, that we would have an opportunity to stop and reflect on your goodness and your grace and how we can live that out today. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you will. We do sing about the amazing grace of God. The songs we sing today will be about grace. The testimonies you hear will be about grace. The message today is about the grace of God. So let's just lift up praise to who he is. Sing this little chorus with me. You know it. Amazing grace. Come on.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Well, if you're participating online, it's an honor to have you sing with us, to worship with us, to open God's word. We invite you to participate in all the things we do today. We'd love for you to let us know you're there by texting the word welcome to 256-322-6100. It's on the screen. It'll be there for a moment so that you can do so. If you're in the room, you can either text the word welcome to that number, or you can fill out the worship registration if you're a guest today. We would love to have your address, and I do promise we're not coming to your house. What we would like to do is send you a gift in the mail. So please do that to let us know you're here, and if there's a way we can pray for you, that would be great as well. Our church of the week that we're praying for this week is Life Point Church. Their pastors, they have co-pastors, Matt Brooks and Quentin Williams. LifePoint has been a great partner church in our city with us for years. We're thankful when we can share together from ministry and outreach, and so we want to pray for them, for God to move in power among them today. And our missionaries of the week are Julia and Ala Vipin, serving in Central Asia. They serve with Greg and Zoya Johnson, and they are mission partners of ours, and so you pray for them, for God to move in power among them as well. We'll pray for them in just a moment. But before we do, I want to give you a little update from our Japan mission team. I'll ask Kevin Smith to make his way here. Kevin is our director of global ministries, and so he helps us to be able to keep our partnerships intact with all of our mission partners around the world, to have updates from them, to know how to pray for them, and to help lead things like the trip this past week that he led, our trip to Japan. And so we're thankful for the five people that went and served for 10 days. And so they served in Osaka, and Osaka has almost 20 million people. And of those 20 million people, less than 1/3 of 1% know the Lord. So what does that mean? That means out of 20 million, like 200,000 plus, not many who would be believers in Jesus. It's an amazing, vast area of unreached people that desperately need the Lord. And so they went to share and to prayer walk. And I've asked Kevin to give us maybe a couple of different stories of people, someone you can have in your mind to know to pray for that they encountered. So would you share with us a little bit?
Sure. We'd like to thank everyone that prayed for us during this week. It was really the heartfelt, those prayers while we were there. And we prayed before we left that God would put people in our path during the week, and he did do that. Picture you'll see is Hauto. Hauto we met on the first full day that we were there. He and his mom run a restaurant about a block and a half from where our hotel was. The missionaries we served with that day had developed a relationship with them, and they had actually joined their Bible study. So we went just to patronize their business. For one, they opened up specially for us that day for lunch, and we had a wonderful time with them. We was able to sing Amazing Grace with them and pray for them while we were there. And so y'all just pray that Hauto will know Christ soon, and his mom and their family would be saved there. And the next one we met during our English cafe. Japanese people there really want to learn English. And so one of the outreach ministries they do is they teach English classes. And so part of that, they have a time where they can come in and practice their English. So it was an English service. Harris, here, as you see with Beth, he came in. His mom was Japanese. His dad is Pakistani-Canadian. He grew up a lot of his life in Canada. And him and his mom moved back to Japan. And one of his friends came from Canada, and they were heard about our English cafe the day before, and so they just shown up. And the first time that anyone there had ever seen these guys and had been able to talk to them. So he brought up during our English time that he had researched Christianity, Islam, and Buddhism. And he was, you know, searching for God, I think, for that, and was able to share with him how God loves him. I think God brought him to our path for a reason. And was able to pray with him, and he did let us take a picture. And so that was a good time with that. We just pray that Harris will find who he's looking for, and we didn't see him the rest of the week. We was hoping he might show back up for other events we had, but he didn't. The third folks I wanted you to talk about was Marty and Don got to spend some time in another English class, actually teaching with another church. And they had three ladies in, Kumi, Michio, and Kazumo. Those three ladies did their English lesson. The last part of that time, they get to have a chapel time in which they share different verses of the Bible. Well, this day, they talked about the Lord's Prayer. And Marty and Don got to use that time to share with them the gospel, how the Lord's Prayer leads them back to Jesus. And so Japanese people are very punctual. The trains are very punctual. They'll come and go at the right time. So the class was supposed to be over with at 12. That day, the ladies didn't want to leave. And they stayed to almost 12:30. And so it was a long time for them to hear, you know, Don and Marty give them that gospel message. So we pray that they will accept Christ and that they will follow up there with the churches that they serve in.
Marty shared this morning in small group that one of the ladies, when they were talking about the Lord's Prayer, she said it is so hard to forgive other people where the Lord's Prayer tells us to. And that was the perfect open door to be able to say we forgive because we have been forgiven by God and to share the truth of who Jesus was. So you pray for them. There could be many more stories you would hear, but we simply wanted to put some faces to some names. We wanted to give you some names and to realize that part of being on mission was simply to go to lock eyes with people, to meet people, to know how to pray for them. So we're praying that the Holy Spirit will do a work in their lives and draw them to the Lord, that they will receive the amazing grace of God. We're thankful for our partnerships there. This is with the International Mission Board, part of our Southern Baptist Convention. And our team was the first mission team to go back into Japan since COVID started. They've had very tough restrictions. And so we're thankful to be able to go and to be a part of that. We're looking forward to sending more teams in the future and looking forward to one of their main missionaries who is from Geraldine, Alabama. He'll be here in the next few months and we'll have him come and share with us. And so we look forward to developing that more. Let's pray for them as we carry on in worship. Thank you very much. Father God, take a moment to pray for these, Lord, for the people that the mission team met in Japan, that they shared the gospel with, that they prayed for, the people they walking down the street saw and just prayed for, all the different ways they offered up prayers for individuals. Lord, we believe in the power of prayer, and we believe that you are the same God who answered prayers thousands of years ago in the Old Testament. You're the same God who answered prayers 2,000 years ago in the New Testament. You are the same God who is at work yesterday and today and will be tomorrow. So we know that you can bring salvation to these. You can draw them to you. So we're asking that you do so. Father, we pray that you, the same God, the God of David, who allowed David to strike down giants, who led him to be a man after your own heart, who forgave him in the midst of his great sin, you are that same God who will work in the lives of the people today at Life Point Church. Lord, we pray for revival to take place there today, and that whoever is preaching this morning, you would use them in power. Father, we pray that you, the very God of Mary, who cares for the lowly and for the obscure, Lord, we think about the fact of our friends Julian and Ala serving in Central Asia, and they are serving in an obscure place where not many people are hearing the gospel today. But God, that you would give them opportunity to speak truth and to develop believers and disciples that will grow, and that that nation will come to know you and the people there will come to know you. Father, we pray for those right here in Albertville, in our city, in Marshall County. Lord, we have people in this room that come from all over, from Crossville, from Collinsville, from Sneed Crossroads, from Arab, from Gadsden, Rainbow City. We've got people in the room from Boaz, from Smith Institute, from Rockledge, people from Guntersville, people from Oak Grove, people in the room, Lord, from Geraldine and different, Lord, all around our area. God, may we be your light in those communities. You didn't place us here as a faith family together just so that we could huddle up and have some great songs. You placed us here together that we might pray for one another, encourage one another, and then go be your light in those communities. So God, may all of Sand Mountain come to know you. Would you use us to be a part of that? Let us be a little part of that, Father. Use us to share your gospel. Use us to live your gospel. You are the same God. We will sing about that now. In Jesus' name, amen. We learned a song a few weeks ago that we want to ask you to sing today. I love this song and the message that it proclaims. So would you stand with us? And let's call on the God of Jacob. Let's call on the God of Moses. Let's call on the God of David. Let's lift it up together.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures to generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean.
captives then. Sing that out.
You freed the captives then. You're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You touched the lepers then. I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are the same God.
You're the same God. You're the same God.
I'm calling on the Holy Spirit.
Call on the Spirit.
Almighty River, come and fill me again.
Come and fill.
Come and fill me again.
Come and fill.
Come and fill.
This morning, we're just going to do something a little different. As we're praying over this mission trip, we got to experience, we talked about having joy in every circumstance. Philippians 4:4 talks about that very thing. And I don't know what some of you are going through. I know that we have a lot of hardship in this room in this very moment. We have a lot of people who are hurting, who are broken. But God hears you. He hears your prayers. He knows you're there. So when we talk about calling on the God of Moses, on the God of Mary, on the God of Jacob, God answered every single one of those prayers. It may not have been in the time frame. It may not be in the time frame that you want right now, but I encourage you, I implore you to find joy in the darkness, to find joy in the sorrow, so that we can just sing songs like this one we're going to sing it as well. Just sing that with me.
When peace like a river attends that's all.
Father God, you gave those words to Horatio Spafford many years ago. And they were born out of tragedy. They were born out of heartache. They were born out of the loss of his family. But oh, he spoke truth. And it was like a cannon shot that has rung out and continues to ring out for generations of believers to know that in all things, God works for good, those who know him and love him. It's not that all things are good, but Father, you have a plan and you can use all of life to change us, to mold us into your image. You can use all of life for your glory. So God, we're asking that we would be reminded today that you are a God of grace, and that's grace in the good times and grace in the bad. And God, if there's anyone here that's never experienced your amazing grace, that they would give their life to you today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will, friends. Today we begin our message series. It's part two of a series we had all fall. In the fall, it was Bedtime Bible Stories Revisited. This is Bedtime Bible Stories New Testament Edition. We spent all fall in the Old Testament. This time we're going to be in the New Testament. And if you can pick out some of the pictures from the drawings and the letters, you'll see kind of where we're going throughout this series. We'll spend 8 weeks looking at stories you might have learned as a child if you grew up in church. Now, if you did not grow up in church, these might be brand new to you. And I want you to understand, though, that for those of us that grew up in church, we have a little bit of a disservice compared to you. And here's what I mean. You're hearing them fresh and new. We're hearing what we've heard thousands of times before that we often have heard starting in a simple way. And because of that, we somehow think they're simple-minded. But these stories are not simple-minded. They tell deep truth for adults, for children alike. And they give us a way to live our lives. And so we go back to childhood days and we think about singing Jesus Loves Me. We think about Jesus loves the little children. We think about he's got the whole world in his hands, deep and wide. We think about all those songs we learned. One of my favorite corny children's songs was this. We're going to sing it together. If you guys will go ahead and put the words up on the screen, I might need to see them all. All right, so I'm going to try my best to find it. What's the key? Sorry, it's been a long time. I am a C. Is that it? Here we go. If you know it, sing it. If you don't, you're like, what are we doing? We're going to spell. It's okay. Here we go. I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T. And I will L-I-V-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y. All right, who's never heard that before? It's okay, I promise, it's okay. That seems strange. So, what you do as a child, you learn it faster. Let's try, we'll speed it up. You ready? Here we go. Ready? And one, two, three. I am a C. Come on, you got it.
I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And I have C-H-R-I-S-T-M-I-N-C-A-R-T. And I will L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-A.
Double time.
I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, and I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T, and I will L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y.
Woo, I'm impressed. Unfortunately, often when we think about children's stories, we think about songs like that, which, to be honest, are corny. That's a corny song. The message is good. I'm a Christian, and I have Christ in my heart, and I will live eternally. That's a great message, but it's simple at best. So I don't want you to think in terms of that song, though that's not a bad song to know. I want you to think in terms of deep truth that God would have for us today. And we'll start with Mark chapter 5. So as you're turning to Mark chapter 5, I'll set the stage. Jesus has healed a demon-possessed man. Then he gets in the boat and he crosses to the other side of the lake to Capernaum. And a lot of ministry takes place in Capernaum. And this story is one of my favorite stories I learned as a child that has really come to life for me in the past number of years. And this story, you'll recognize it, some of you, if you've been around a while, as we read it. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at Jesus' feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. Here's the first thing I want you to know today. Jairus' faith was both humble and bold. Let me explain. He was a ruler in the synagogue. That means he was a man that was not used to bowing to anyone. In fact, people probably tend to bow in deference to him. He was an important person. He was a man of power. He was a man of prestige. He was a man of position. And so he finds himself in a crisis. His daughter is sick. And listen, there's some people in the room with power, prestige, and position. There's people participating online with power, prestige, and position. And here's what we would all say to those that maybe feel like they don't have power, prestige, or position. And that is this: sooner or later, a problem comes along in life that's bigger than we are, and a crisis will bring us to our needs. Doesn't matter how much power you have. Doesn't matter what your position is. Crisis is the great leveler. It levels life to the same. So we're brought to our needs. But there are people who are so proud that because they will come to their needs, they will never sink to their knees. So here's what I want you to say is that crisis brings you to your needs, but this man was willing to go to his knees. That's called humility. And so he comes to Jesus, he risks his position and his reputation to make a bold request of Jesus. And here's what we know: Jesus responded to his humility and Jesus responded to his boldness. Now I want you to know something. Jesus still responds today. We sang the same God. That same God still responds to humility today. He still responds to boldness today. So here's my question: where's your faith today? Where are you? Jesus still responds. So now for the next few verses, the story changes. Another story is put right in the middle of this one. We don't have time to read it right now, but it's about a woman who had a medical condition for 12 years, and she gets in the middle of this big crowd that's following Jesus to Jairus' house, and she ends up touching him, and she's healed. That's another story for another day, but I want you to know this. Because Jesus stopped and dealt with her and loved on her and ministered to her and made her well, and then he calls her a name he hasn't called anybody else in the Bible. He calls her daughter. This unclean woman who had a problem for 12 years, Jesus looks at her, heals her, touches her, and calls her daughter. It's amazing. But because he took the time to do all of this, he has delayed now. And the delay has cost Jairus' family. Look what happens next. Verse 35, skip on down, Mark 5:35. While Jesus was still speaking, there came from Jairus' house someone who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Common sense says the story's over. Jairus wanted Jesus to heal the daughter. She dies before Jesus can get there. It's too late. So most people would say, "Don't bother this teacher anymore. Leave him alone. You don't have to walk with him anymore." Can I say to you that sadly, there are so many people I've met over the years that this is their story. They've sought to walk with the Lord. They're new in their faith, or they're growing in their faith. And then bad things start to happen and they start to say, "How come life was easier before Jesus? How come things were less? I didn't expect these to happen." And I've seen so many people that walk away or step away from the Lord at the very time they should be walking with him. You've seen it too. Listen, friends, if that's been you, I want to invite you to realize, walk back with him today. He never left. Walk back with him today. So here's what happens in this story. This man, he had a choice to make. He was told, "You don't have to bother Jesus anymore." And so he decides he will do something different. But here's what I would say to you. It seems like Jesus was too late for Jairus. And maybe in your life, it seems like Jesus has been too late. But what I have seen over and over again in the Bible and over again in people I know and over again in my own life is this: when we think Jesus is too late, that is often God's way of setting the stage for something glorious. What we view as it's too late and not going to work, Jesus says, "The timing is right. I'm about to show my glory and you will see it." So look at verse 36. But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear. only believe. He looks at Jairus, who's found out his daughter is dead. Someone's told him, don't bother this man anymore. Just go home on your own. And Jesus says, wait a minute, Jairus, don't fear. Only believe. There's a little chorus we sang growing up. Maybe you did too. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. It's a great little song. It comes from this passage right here where Jesus says, only believe. So Jairus has a choice to make. Does he give up or does he keep believing? So what does keep believing look like for Jairus? Well, what it means for Jairus is this. He says, Jesus, come on, let's go on to the house. Let's keep walking. That's what it looks like. By faith, he continues to take Jesus to his home. For some of you in this room where things have been difficult, hear me say, for Jesus, only believe. And what does that look like? Keep taking Jesus with you. Don't walk away. Keep walking with him. And so what happens next? Verse 37, it says, and he allowed no one, Jesus allowed no one except Peter and James and John, the brother of James, to follow him. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So Jesus keeps walking with Jairus. Jairus shows him the way to his house. He gets there. There's people everywhere. There's a great commotion. There's people inside wailing and crying and singing. And what are they doing? These people might have some been family of Jairus, but the reality is you have to understand that when you were a well-educated, upper-crust Jewish leader, like in the synagogue, it was very commonplace in the day that you, with your wealth, would use money to pay mourners and wailers to come to your house when someone dies, and it would be a sign of honor the more wailers and mourners you could afford to pay to come and to cry and to wail on behalf so that someone would be wailing on behalf of the death of your family member. So that's what's happening. So Jesus arrives and sees all of this that's going on, and here's what he says next in verse 39. And when he had entered the house, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. So he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in to where the child was. Now you got to picture this. They're all weeping and wailing. The girl is dead. She's not maybe dead. She's not mostly dead. She's dead. She is dead. And so they're wailing and it's a horrible moment. And so Jesus comes in and says, why are you weeping? She's just asleep. They laugh and he says, leave. And so they leave. He puts them all out, except for Jairus and his wife, Peter, James, and John. And that's what I would say to you about this in understanding for us is the world around us will not understand the faith you will have when you walk in humility and boldness. The world's not going to understand it. The world's not going to understand the things that God would call you to do from time to time. He's just not. It's very difficult. Sometimes when you stand for the Lord, people around you will laugh. They'll think it's funny. Sometimes someone's going to say what you're saying and what you're standing for is politically incorrect. Sometimes someone's going to say it's crazy, it doesn't make sense, or you just might make someone mad or uncomfortable. But if that's ever happened for you, I want to encourage you to continue to show the love of God, the truth of God, and walk in his ways, and let the words of Jesus to Jairus speak to you. Do not fear, only believe. Keep moving forward with the truth of God and the love of God and showing others. There, the world around us would want to tell you you're wrong or you're making them uncomfortable. But I want to encourage you to stand strong in your love for others, in your care for others, in the truth of God's word. Stand strong and make sure you only believe and keep speaking. Now let's keep going. Verse 41, taking her, the young girl who was dead, taking her by the hand, Jesus said to her, Talitha kumi. Now, Talitha kumi is Aramaic, and it's a phrase that means, little girl, I say to you, arise. But here's what's interesting. You can't get the feeling necessarily when you just hear it and you read it off a page. But Talitha, this word, it is the etymology of the word. When you go to the background of where the word comes from and what other words we get from it, we get a very specific word from this besides the idea of little girl. And the word is little lamb. And so it was a very endearing thing for Jesus to take her by the hand, her body that is no longer alive, to take her by the hand and to look into her face and say, little girl, little lamb, Talitha Kumi, I tell you, arise. Can you imagine what a beautiful moment that was? Verse 42, and immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. You can believe they were overcome with amazement. She's dead, and Jesus says to her, little lamb, little girl, I tell you, arise. And she gets up, and she begins to walk around, and they were floored. They were amazed. Now, what's interesting to me is this story is also told in the Gospel of Luke, and I love how Dr. Luke says it when he says this in chapter 8. He says, this scripture, I just read it to you. It says that she jumped up back to life. In Luke chapter 8, it says her spirit returned to her body. I love that. What does that tell us? It's a reminder she was past. She was dead. Her spirit had already gone to be with God. Friends, if you've ever wondered, and some people will argue over the idea, is there such a thing as soul sleep, where when you die, you just remain in your body until Jesus returns, or do you immediately go to heaven to be with the Lord? Here's a prime example, because her spirit was already gone. Listen, your loved ones that know Jesus, they're not in the ground in their bodies. They are with the Lord now. And we can celebrate that. And so Jesus says, little girl, little lamb, arise, and her spirit returns to her, and she gets up. It's an amazing thing. Have you ever thought about the people that Jesus resurrected from the dead? Only three are mentioned by name. And here's who they are. We have Jairus' daughter, we have Lazarus, and we have the widow Nain's son. That's the only three that we know of. There were probably many more, but we know of those three. But have you ever stopped to think that of all three of those, every person Jesus ever resurrected and brought back to life eventually died again? None of them are walking this earth right now. If Lazarus was still around, that'd be awesome, but he's not. He's gone to heaven to be with the Lord. So everyone that was brought back to life lived the remainder of their life and at some point died again, and Jesus did not resurrect him. Now, why do I tell you that? Because you can bet your last dollar, if you're a betting person, that all three of them then lived their lives to tell people, can I tell you what happened to me? Do you know who I am? It's not about me, but do you know what happened to me? They told their story of the grace of God. We've been singing about the grace of God since we started our service. These three, at least, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, the widow Nain's son, they told about the grace of this man, Jesus, for the remainder of their days until they died. Friends, this applies to you. You and I were dead in our sins. You were dead. I was dead. Jesus comes and says, little man, little woman, little girl, little boy, arise, friend, neighbor, arise, come. He gives us new life, salvation he brought to us. By faith in Jesus, we receive new life. So now you and I are called to do the same. Called to do what? Spend the rest of our life as a testimony of God's grace and God's power until the day we die. There's your calling. There's my calling. We are called to spend the rest of our lives telling of the grace of God and the power of God. But it's easy to let the cares of the world kind of take over, and we forget that. Well, I want to bring us back to our original calling. Listen, if you have been saved, I want you to think about something in your mind. You were dead in your sins. You have been brought back to life. And so now we can share that good news with others. Now, look at the last verse of the story. It's an important one. Verse 43. So he brings her back to life, and then this is what happens. He strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Here's what I can say with pretty strong confidence, that nothing indicates in history or science or the Bible that being dead is going to make you hungry. If you're dead, you're not hungry. But being alive surely requires food to eat. Amen? Listen, it's getting close to time for a Scooby snack right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's 11:17. I'm feeling it. And so the reality is, living requires nourishment and food. So when Jesus gives us new life, I want you to know he does the same thing for you he did to Jairus' daughter. He brought you back to life, and then he says, now go eat. But here's the problem. A lot of time believers say, oh, well, I don't have anything to eat. Listen, friends, God's called you to eat. And what does that mean? To feast on the word of God, to take in the knowledge of God and his word. You say, well, preacher, that's why I come to church. No, 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 no. Listen, come here to corporately worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we're going to give you, hopefully, a good, well-thought-out 25-minute message. That's the plan, okay? But the reality is, if all you eat is what you get that I'm feeding you on Sunday, then you need to understand you'll be malnourished the rest of your life. You'll never grow in the way God's called you to. So please don't ever make a habit of telling people, I left this church because I wasn't being fed, or I'm going to this church because they feed me well. Listen, friends, no offense, feed yourself. That's the scriptural idea. We want to feed you and encourage together, but God's called you. You say, Chris, I can't. I don't know how. I can't read God's word. I understand. Do not fear, only believe, and then take the steps to feed yourself. What does that look like? It begins with getting a Bible and digging in. If you need some help, go to our website, albertvillefbc.church. Go to Next Steps, right there under Bible. There are questions. We'll give you 5 questions you can ask every time you open the Bible to help you understand what it means and what it's about. It's a good start. Come be a part of Bible study groups to help you learn how to dig in more and grow. Feed yourself. It's the calling of God for your life. But here's the problem. Sometimes as believers, if we're not careful, we feed ourselves and we feed ourselves and we feed ourselves, and we can become Bible study junkies. I love a good Bible study. We can love that together and love it and love it and love it. But if you take in and take in and take in nourishment, 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 but you never walk that out in your life with love and grace and mercy and truth and justice and live that among others, listen, here's the reality. We can be educated beyond our level of obedience. There's nothing sadder than someone who's got lots of education but no obedience. I shared this with someone just this weekend that's working on their very first sermon. And I shared with them that the idea behind preaching, that my goal every Sunday is not to stand up and teach somebody something new. That my goal is to speak truth that leads to life application. Why? Because information without application does not lead to transformation. And information with application will lead to life transformation. And God didn't call any of us to come in here and leave a little bit fatter with knowledge. He called us to come in here and be transformed as we live it out. And so I want to encourage you to think through that in your own time of study, to eat. I believe Jesus would say the same to you. I brought you back to life. You will have an end date. There's another time that will be your last day on this earth. So until you reach that point, do me a favor. Keep eating. Keep growing. Keep getting to know me and do what I've called you to do. So that's what he would tell us to do. Listen, I want to encourage that of you. I want you to think about how ridiculous it is, though, to be someone in 2023 who can have such access to a Bible. The Bible is so easily accessible today. If you don't own a physical copy, we would love to give you one. But I will also tell you, all you need is a phone that allows apps, and you can have free Bible on your phone, on your tablet, anywhere you want it, anytime, on the internet. It's available. We are so blessed to live in a place where we have access to the Word of God. But to be someone who has so much access to the Word of God and still does not grow in their walk with Him, I would equate that to this. Let's say that you find yourself going a week with no food. You've starved yourself for a full week, and I hand you a $50 bill, and you and I walk next door to Foodland, and we're standing in the middle of Foodland, and they've got all kinds of goodies. Did y'all know they sell Krispy Kreme there? Because I did. And so they got all these goodies there, and you can go down the breakfast cereal aisle. You can go back to the back to the meats, and they've got some great meat. You can go over, they've got sushi there. You can get sushi. You can get a deli sandwich. You can get eggs and cheese. You can find any kind of food you can imagine right there in Foodland. And if you stood in there in the middle of that, having not touched one bite of food in 7 days, and I've handed you a $50 bill, and you look at me and say, I'm starving to death. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know why. I can't grow in the Lord. I'm starving to death. We would say it's foolish, wouldn't we? That you haven't taken that money, bought something, opened it up, and ate it right there. Friends, can I say to you, if you feel like your personal walk with Christ is malnourished at best or starving at worst, can I encourage you? You have been given so many resources to know God better. So what you need to do is to stop, first of all, and say, God, I want to know you better. So today I'm making a commitment to dig into your word. I'm making a commitment to join a Bible study. I'm making a commitment that I want to grow in you. And then, listen, as you read, don't feel like you have to read the whole book in a week. In fact, don't do that. You're not going to be able to. What I would encourage you to do instead is find truth. Read the scripture. Find something you can apply to your life and live out and stop there for the day. Just begin to grow. Friends, we all can grow in our walk with Christ. From the youngest person in the room to the oldest believer in the room. I see Willis Kelly in the back here. Willis Kelly has preached longer than most people have been alive. And Willis Kelly has been a pastor to pastors for 70 plus years. And I mean, of pastoring, not living. He lived much longer than that. I'll let him tell you that. But the reality is, I think about someone like him, and he would gladly come up here and tell you today, he can still learn about God and his goodness and his grace. He's not arrived even at his age and with all the years he's pastored. Friends, for you and for me, we must be about growing in the grace and knowledge of God. So commit to eat, commit to pray, commit to God's word, and then start by living it out day by day. Let's not be educated beyond our level of obedience. So what is the last part of this little message? Jesus says to them, don't tell anyone and give her something to eat. Well, that's where the story changes. He still wants you and I to eat, but we're not like this last sentence. Because with them, he says, don't tell anyone because the time was not right. He needed a little longer to put everything into place. But he says to us, go tell everyone because the time is short. So for them, it was don't tell anyone, it's not yet time. And for us, it's go tell everybody because we're running out of time. And so that's what God has called you and I to do. So what are we to do with Jairus' daughter and Jairus today? Here's four things, if you write things down as we stop. Here's what you and I can do today. First of all, come to Jesus both humble and bold. He still responds to both. In humility, bend the knee. In humility, bow the heart. In humility, strip away the pride in your life and say, God, I need you. And then come boldly and ask him to do what only he can do. And then second, if you feel like it's too late in your life, I don't know what the circumstance is, but if you feel like, just like Jairus felt like it might have been a little late as his daughter had died, if you feel like it's too late, remember the words of Jesus. Do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. And then third, if he has brought you back to life, then you must eat, and I must eat. Be in the word of God. Grow in knowledge and obedience. Live that out as we seek to honor him and to pray to him. And then lastly is remember this, your days on earth are numbered. You've already been brought back to life once. You will pass at some point and go to be with Jesus. So our days on earth are numbered. Go tell everyone because the time is short. That little chorus, only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. We're going to sing it. And as we do, it's our invitation. We're inviting you to respond to what God might be saying to you today. Respond to the truth of Mark chapter 5. Respond to the idea that you're Jairus' daughter. And so for some of us, it's a renewed commitment that he's made you alive, so now you're going to eat. And so you might want to come and get on your knees for a moment and just say, God, I want to be in your word. Give me a passion for it and help me to understand it more as I read it. Ask him to help you. For others, maybe it's you realize you're Jairus' daughter and now you've got a story to tell because of what he's done in your life. So now you want to make a renewed commitment to go and tell your neighbors, your friends, your family, your coworkers to live the gospel influence. Maybe for you, though, you want to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you feel like you are dead in your sins, hopeless, you don't know. I would love to share with you how you can give your life to the Lord. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. Whatever he's saying for you to do, you want to follow through with believers, baptism like Melanie and Dalton did last week, and you want to do that soon. If you have a way that you need to make a commitment or take a step of faith, I encourage you to do so, and we invite you to do so through this invitation. Join me in prayer. Father God, we say only believe, only believe. We sing that not because we think it's a great idea, but because Jesus is our model. And he said that to Jairus, do not fear, only believe. And then Jairus had enough faith and boldness to step forward and say, come on to my house. God, we're not saying you're going to bring every person that dies back to life in that regard, but we do know that you'll commit to walk through us in our struggles. You will commit to do miracles in certain circumstances and situations. You can do anything you want to do. So God, we're simply asking you to help us to know, to be more like you, to live for you, to experience your love more, to show your grace more. For those of us that do know you, may we make a renewed commitment to walk out that faith, to feed ourselves, to eat, to be nourished, to grow, to be in Bible study and to come with groups of people so that we can grow together. Lord, we believe. Lord, we believe. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291. Or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.